Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Podcast episode number 81. Today I'm your host Kevin Ryan from St. Mary's. I'm joined by Scourge of the South, Sean Smith from Turlough Sarsfields, and Stephen Cronin from Carrickdavins. Big topic of conversation today is the great Tipperary minor win yesterday in Nolan Park. Absolutely fantastic stuff. Last minute drama. Stephen, what a way to win a game.
Absolutely. That's something you live long in the memory for. The rest of their lives, and even for something the supporters will all talk about for the rest of our lives, you know, to be down and out, done for, you know, people gone out the gap maybe, and to pull it out of the fire the way they did was just simply sensational. Not just the winning goal though, you know, as great as all that, but you know, to be, it was 6 points down about 5 minutes ago, a man down, to just stay going. To claw their way back into a position to actually give themselves a chance, you know, it was fantastic. Fantastic character shown there, and delighted for him. Absolutely brilliant. And gave us something to cheer about.
You mentioned the word composure, and I think that was the key difference, because, you know, Offaly at one end couldn't get that score to go 7 points up, which I think would have killed the game. Tipperary hung on. They didn't panic at all. They didn't try and maybe go for goal when the chances weren't there. Even they had a free, they tapped over Aaron O'Halloran then with an absolute great score that's kind of gone under a bit under the radar then to, you know, what everything that happened after to bring it back to two. And then obviously the goal then just, you know, an inch perfect ball going in. And then I think you said it yourself, he's probably still in the air now, Paddy McCormack. Yeah. But you know, what a touch, everything just trying to perfection. It was a ball that was really hard to defend and then just breaking off the hearts for a finish. Two poorly winners on the day, do you think?
No. To be honest, like they didn't. I think part of the what helped Tipperary was the actual sending off, because at 17 years of age, when you're 4 or 5 points up, you're playing the better hurling, they get this man sent off going into the dying moments of the game. Offaly switched off themselves. They thought the game was over, you know, and It's a life lesson for all those young lads up at under 17 level and up in Offaly that game's not over until that whistle goes, like, you know. And I think as we spoke about composure there, like that for me was a major factor in it. young lads, especially that are a year younger than what we've all known minors to be. So they're still mature and there's still a lot of growing. As soon as that red card was shown, I think they thought the game was over, and you think that at your peril, really.
Yeah, I think, it was said a few times that, they were beginning to cramp, and, they did put a massive effort. You could see it in their tackling in the first half. It was fairly, just talking the story of the game, it was fairly level pegging. Both teams looked nervous enough early on. Then that key period, 5 minutes before the half time, when Offaly hit a purple patch, kind of hit 1-3 to kind of go, and I think it was 110 to 7 points. That made a massive difference for what was, I think, up to then a fairly level game. Tip started the second half, I thought, really well. If we were cursing our luck coming out of Northern Park there, having lost by 5 or 6 points, I think the key moment would have been, as well as maybe the another goal chance missed later on, when Tip decided to go for a goal from a goal from a free. They had a chance to go 2 points, bring the lead back to 2 points. They went for a goal. Offaly went down the field, got to the four, and then subsequently stretched. At that time, it was all going Offaly. But, Tip, as we said, didn't panic. Finished very strong after the sending off. Then, Offaly kind of couldn't see it out when they saw the finish line. But, in fairness to James Woodlock, the substitutions for Tipperary seemed to make a difference as well. And, he kept them going till the end there.
And kind of, I think Stephen touched on something there, kind of the age of the Offaly team, as well as Tip under 17, composure, a bit of experience. Like when we went a man down, they kind of invited us on to kind of go on, you go for there if you want it. Like we defenders there tapping points over. Like you said, who's scoring? Sam, Aaron, Jack, they're banging like scores over there from a couple of years out, but they're getting invited on to take score on. And even at the end, when we got the point to go back to, everything kind of roaring wide and lob it in, but don't ever compose that. For Paddy to lob in a ball that, lads, he can't, like, very, very hard to lob in a ball as good as that. It's one of the best I've ever seen. Like, you see the senior level, and it either goes over the bar or duffs it short. He actually lobbed it and it floated in lovely. Like, so, but it was kind of composure that Tip had, and we saw it over here there on Gaelic grounds as well. When he kind of had to put the shoulder down, they done it.
Exactly, and you actually see it done badly a couple of hours later in the dying embers of the Galway and Limerick game, when Limerick got Kyle Hayes back to where they want him to, under dropping ball. Now, look, I know it was a much longer delivery from the keeper, but it's such a hard skill to time it right and to get it so your defenders actually can't come out and attack the ball. So I think fair play to him, definitely. And as mentioned, the finish then was just perfection.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he's on the edge of the D, he wasn't far enough out where you could, he gets up on it. He was so close, then you're half red over hitting it or under hitting it. But it was just like whatever he was doing in training, to have him so focused in training that a match is just a match now. You'd be half wondering when you watch it, like young McCormack, he came from the side. He wasn't just standing under a high ball, pulling like and hoping for the best. It looked a calculated move. And look, you wonder, maybe is it something they ever worked on? Maybe not. But if they never worked on it, the game intelligence out of them two boys there was simply outstanding. Not to just be caught under the ball that suits her back. Came in from the side, the back couldn't do anything about it. There's nothing the back could have done there unless he was 8 foot tall and he was able to get the early first. But it was just as a goal from the Tip perspective, for a goal to win an All Ireland final, you won't get nicer. It was just perfection watching it.
Exactly. And look, this team, they were down against Clare in the dying moments of a Munster final. You're up and down against Galway at various stages in a cracking semi-final, and then this game, you come from behind to win it at the death. Like, it's just such a never say die attitude, and they're great role models, I think, for everyone out there. Maybe just address a couple of other points there, in the build-up, Offaly supporters maybe crying for a free. The more I look at it, maybe the softer free you see him given, but he definitely would have played for it, and he might well have got his game over by that. But do you think they have any do you think there's any substance in that?
Look, there's a little. If he gave a free, I don't think there'd have been too much of an outcry from the Tipperary perspective. But as soon as the ball reached his hand, he was gone. He was looking for his free. The shoulder came in, there was no leg trip. no push in the back. His momentum, along with a touch of I'm earning this free here.
Yeah.
That's, and I think if he didn't throw his hands out as soon as connection came, I think he could well have got the free.
Yeah,
but there was an element of, you know, I'm working a free here as well.
We always see him giving a defender coming out late for the minute up, winning team. And that's kind of, when he has the ball in his hand, momentum just takes to the ground and he thinks he's actually kind of free. Like,
yeah.
Like I didn't notice in the first half as well, there were lads going down looking for frees maybe, and on another day might have got him. But, you know, it was fairly consistent refereeing, I thought, that, I wouldn't go to too many under 17 games now. But, you know, it did look like that they weren't getting frees maybe on another day that they would have.
There's not. Yeah, there's a few refereeing decisions like that, but kind of went like that whole game and said there, Kevin. So, like, at the end, if Offaly got that free against those, we didn't get it. Like, oh, kind of fuck it. But still, like, the chance of Paddy lobbing that Paddy McCormick hitting it, I don't worry. 1%.
Yeah, and this free is the scapegoat for the last 10-minute capitulation out of Offaly. Like, they can finger point at that free and say, oh, it should never have been a free. Tipperary should never have been in that position in the first place. You're a man up, you're 5 or 6 points up, and Tipperary were in a chance to win a game at the last buck of the game. That's not on the referee. That's on Offaly. Like, you know, like, they can point at that free all the life. But if we're going to scrutinize, put a microscope on every single, we probably could go back, rewatch the footage, and say every little small little thing could have been a free. This could have been a free. You know, like,
look, you know, if you leave a team within 2 or 3 points towards the end of it, then you haven't done enough to win the game.
Yeah,
kind of. You know, you always leave the back door open. So we see it time and time. We see it time and time again. So yeah, I'd agree that they can't just be over complaining. Maybe they're using that because, you know, the shell shock. I mean, look, I was in the stand there, but the Offaly, they're ready for, I suppose, what would have been nearly the mother of all pitch invasions, like, you know, from, I mean, it would have been transformative, I think. But, you know, I think that Offaly will get a lot off that team going forward. You know, we'll see them again at under 20, I think. You know, people saying that the follow-on from under 17 to under 20 isn't as straightforward as it would be from under 18 to 21 would have been previously, like, and you might see different lads coming, but I think that Offaly really now have to focus on that cohort because they have a few right-harders there. You know, the corner forward screen, I think it was, I thought, fantastic. You know, on the day, a few more of them as well. And they look like they're well able for the physical stuff too.
What do you make of the Ray Card? You know what, Ray Card? I don't know why they're giving up, but trying to work out. Did he not want Ray Card? Did he want yellow, like?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Definite red.
Well, the red, like, but yeah, not sure why they were complaining about it. Like, I know, like John Tennyson done it against Larne. I know he missed him, but. Like, you know, he hit him in the head and denied a goal, but, like, Lord, it was very hard, and that was it. But.
If I were to be absolutely fair, I'd say the belt in the head, if you watch it, his initial reaction was the head went down. You know, at first the head went down and then he came back up. And that split second of taking his eye off the goal gave the goalie a chance to, you know, set himself. And, like, it could have played a part in him missing.
Oh, it did. Could have played a part, like, in it, you know.
But the referee did his job. He sent him off. There was no complaints from Tipperary. No complaints from Tipperary supporters. There's not a second.
Yeah.
What can they really complain about? Like, you know, like, what did they want? It wasn't a penalty. You know, it wasn't a penalty. It wasn't a denial of a clear goal and scoring chance because he had his chance. He just fluffed it. So I don't know, did they want the game stopped there and then when that happened? But, you know, there's, look, you'd be hoping just on the incidents itself, I presume the management and players they'll have a chat now in the next couple of weeks or something, you know, a private one themselves. And
yeah.
Hopefully James now will pull the Umfield as a side and say, look, that kind of stuff, you know, you can do without with it, like, because I go back to their age profile. They're 17 years of age, 16, 17, and they're exposed on national television, social media. Like, the last thing, I think he was, someone mentioned on Premier View when they were going back and forth there. I was fairly pissed off over there. I didn't get a chance to write. Someone called him might have called him a gom or something for doing it, and some Clare lad or something. I can't quite remember what he said about it. He'll be exposed to a lot of that now on on social media.
It was a heat of a moment. Like, it's like in soccer, and the goals, a defender handballs the ball. But I know he's thrown a hurling and he could have hit him and damaged his ear or whatever, but you know.
Yeah, but the way he's only a young lad, and you don't want him being exposed. You don't want the social media having a pop at him.
No,
you know, because there's a lot of warriors on social media. So hopefully now he'll have a chat about be putting the past and something mistake he won't make again. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And look, we won't even spend any more time on that as well. I think but just look, going back to tip all our the minors as a whole. You know, an absolute great year. You know, three great wins. You know, as I said, Munster final, All Ireland semi final. All Ireland final, they're all at the death shows what kind of battlers they are. And I think that, you know, gave us all such a shot in the arm after a very short senior summer. Yeah. And, you know, kind of like previous underage kind of results in recent years haven't been the standard, you know, and all the talk of needing. And look, I wouldn't be saying to stop all that talk, just, you know, one swallow doesn't make a summer and all that, like, you know, but, like, you know, to look at all their structures and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think it's just such a shot in the arm. Great to see such tip support there on Sunday and the reception they got back in Thurles as well. So just well done to James Woodlock and all involved, from Sean and myself. Stephen.
And one thing on the tip team, like, we were saying it there last time, like, not really started here, depending on maybe one or two for the scores, but it's the most balanced tip team at an underage level I've ever seen. About, like, Tom Blaney again, you know, then fire got taken off, like, you'd start or mention him as loads. They're lads doing their job and then they're coming off. Someone else is coming on and doing a job for them. You know, it's unreal. Like, and these lads, they're only going to get better if they all keep together.
Yeah, yeah. What's a great boost for Tip going forward is these lads won that All-Ireland out of character. You know, they didn't rely on just being the best team and blowing everyone out of the way. Like, the chips were down. Yeah. They were 5 points down with 10 minutes to go and a man down and all in the final, and the character brought him back into it. And it is a great sign that your young talented hurlers in the county have balls of steel to go with it, you know. They're like, it's a throwback to when Paddy and Brendan and them were coming on the scene. Like, you knew they were going to be, because they were mentally tough.
Yeah, and I just hope, you know, the South lads, four out of the six South lads, the backs, you know, on the team, I just hope that they get enough good hurling now over the next couple of years to kind of keep them up there, you know, and choose schools and colleges and all that kind of thing, you know, that they don't start drifting off as well, that they can keep those lads kind of in there as well, because, you know, it'd be such a boost for South hurling, like, you know, and the players, you know, and then you have another lad, Father Sheehy's in the forwards, like, you know, such a spread of clubs that they really throw the net. But it's very important now to kind of keep those lads in, you know, with the setup and stuff, that they give them access to good quality hurling. Like, I think
they're at the right age for now, because a lot of them are still in school, so they won't be leaving school next year, you know. And like, when they're in school, they're kind of more routine. The same goes, like, you often hear a lad goes to college and goes off the rails, but you know, but these lads seem different to one if they're in another year for school hurling, and then they'll be playing my team with their clubs, and, you know, step up again, and that'll bring them on. Like,
absolutely. So, look, we might kind of leave it there, but look, again, a big well done to all the panel, all the management. Yep. Great boost for the county. On to matters local now. The divisional championships are in full swing, mid the south and the north anyway. The west are on a prolonged holiday. They're kicking off this weekend with a couple of finals and intermediate semi-finals. Down south, unfortunately, my lot, St. Mary's versus Carrick Swan. The weather was atrocious, and so was much of the Mary's performance. 2-11 to 3 points at half-time. Never got out of the traps. I think you were both at that one, actually. It's just very disappointing. We were down a number of players. Carrick Swan looked very sharp. Game done in, I'd say, 15-20 minutes in.
It was. It just looked, it was a strange game. I was kind of looking at, before the match, kind of looking at both teams going, Mary's look a bit, no, I see him warm up, I know he can't take much out, but looked a bit more on the ball, glued in, fitness-wise, probably better strength, you know. But then, I don't know what happened during the game. Swans went for juggernaut and the game was over 20 minutes in. You know, Mary's probably did play better the last 5 minutes, first half and a bit second half, but, you know, coming back from that score, different conditions weren't great here. You're kind of in trouble.
Just hit way too many wides to even think about making a, you know, making a contest out of it. I think then after that, after we were blitzed by Swan early on.
Was the first wide? Yeah. Was the first score from play actually was for like 40 something minutes, I think, was it?
Yeah, it was 11 minutes into the second half. Yeah. Jeez. I think that was a back. I think Sammy Ryan hit that. Yeah. Five from play overall.
Yeah. What was mystifying was, St. Mary's playing against a breeze and a wind and against a good Swan team, and you know, Seamus Kendi up centre forward when the ball wasn't past halfway line, and the Swan kept cutting St. Mary's straight down the middle, and it's just like, I was watching, it's like, am I watching the same thing now as these selectors? And, you know, was, like, when he went back centre-back, I thought he was, he had an excellent second half, and it shored up Mary's big time.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, I think St. Mary's are in an off, well, it's probably not an off situation with Seamus Kennedy. Like, I've seen him down the years, he's playing the forwards and the backs and midfield, you know, and, like, being as good as him, like, is it working against him for St. Mary's? Like, I don't know, you obviously know your team better, but I'd rather face a St. Mary's team with Seamus Kennedy in the forwards than a Seamus Kennedy at centre-back, because simply I think centre-back is his best place. And, you build your foundation blocks on the backs and you move forward. Like, but as poor as St. Mary's were, that's not to take away from how good the Swans were. Now, what stood out for me was the intelligence of the hurling in the first half, the selflessness of it. You know, them boys tracking, the half forwards tracking back, especially to help out. And then the transition into the attack then was brilliant. And some of the passing, you know, to set up the scores. It was just a horrible, as it is for me to say, it was brilliant. Brilliant hurling to watch in the first half.
It was definitely the first 20 minutes I thought they were excellent. The movement, the pace of what they were doing, things, the handling in the conditions, like, you know, the big player shut off from, like, so Gavin O'Halloran, I thought Stephen O'Hassey as well, fullback, was excellent, I think. Yeah.
Gavin, a couple of young fellas there.
Aaron Dunn, a couple of young fellas coming on, and they were missing a couple as well. So
I don't know the young lads anymore, so I don't know who they're missing, but they had a new goalie anyway, as far as I know, young Kerwick, I think his name is, and another two lads up the forward line, Harrigan. I think he was a minor footballer last year. Now, geez, the shift he put in for the, you know, this is a young fella, and he working his socks off, like, and, you know, it is unfortunate for me to see, like, but, you know, it is good for the Swan to have the likes of them lads, young lads coming through and pushing. What they want, what everyone wants, is to be pushing out lads for their places, and, you know, and grabbing that jersey from their own selves. Where I'd be a small bit concerned if I was this one is, you know, regardless of the scoreline going in at half time, the game is not over. You know, and they allowed St. Mary's to get a bit of a run at them at times in the second half, which wouldn't, you know, against bigger and better teams.
Like, they'll need to do what they did for the first 20 minutes against Mullaghone for the next 40 as well.
Correct.
There was definitely a dip with them, but I think they'd work done. I wouldn't read too much into it, but yeah, they will have to kind of bring that intensity for, you know, all the game rather than.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just speaking of that other Mullaghone in the final, the 4-point win over Killinall there in Park na Halley on Saturday evening.
That's the game I did make over to myself now, I'll tell you, but I had to go away. But I was bringing the jerseys back, the juvenile jerseys with the match during the week. So I was bringing them over to the lady that cleans us, and I passed the park, and I think there was 10 minutes to go, and Killinall were I think it was 2 or 3 points up at that stage. I could see the scoreboard when I got home. Mullaghone were after winning the game. Killinall didn't score for the last 10 minutes, I don't think. You know, and I said it on Premier View there, if it's going to be a tight contest and it's going to be come down to a battle, that Mullaghone would win it. And Killinall shows to be Killinall again. You know, you shouldn't be losing them. Like, Killinall have a lot of talent, you know, and look, I'm probably going to get a bit of stick now for this on the old, but it's Killinall. It's losing tight games that they shouldn't be. Granted, they were down a few, but sure, all teams were down a few this weekend.
Yeah. And speaking, so you could say Killinall going to Killinall over in the mid, Sean, Upper Church going to Upper Church.
Won't comment too much on dressing walls, will I?
We're starting as the roundup of insulting every club.
Upper Church seeing all, I thought they'd get through Brackens. But Brackens are fair consistent over the last number of years. Like, they scored 26 points and Church then lost by 3, you know what, 217 to score. So, but, like, you know, after beating Turles, doing the hard work, he said that surely Brackens is kind of a better draw. Maybe they could avoid a drum, that maybe McCarrick would be better for him, but still, you have to win the games. And drum Brackens, great to see Brackens in the final now.
Yeah, I think that's their first one ever. I'm up to correction on that. Lad that maybe drifted off over the last couple of years, but has a great kind of underage record for Tip Linden Fairbrother. Do you think he's worth a look maybe at the county? for the Miller Shield, if that's coming back. You know, he just seems to have done a lot of scoring for him.
I saw him now, not like year before last year, or he was kind of, him and Ormond were the kind of go-to players. It never happened to kind of drift it off, whether they weren't given the opportunities or weren't right at the time. But like, if they're scoring, Danny Pines just scored in the big game against them. No, pretty fair now. They had the full team up by all accounts, no problem, and they're going hell for leather for it. So, but we have to start looking at these brackets, lads. And like, the brackets play a good kind of brand of her. And it's a running game because they're strong. You know, even underage, you see the 12 and 14 we play them, they run at you. They draw the man in, they score points for sport then. Like, you know, they're clinical at that.
Yeah, and you know, look, mid-final is a big thing for them. I think they have been hovering there in their own kind of over the last few years. Like, so, you know, on paper, they've a very kind of solid team, I'd be saying. And they do, over the last couple of years, seem to be getting those young lads through to kind of push them over the edge. So, look, they play Drum and Inch now in the final. Drum had a good win, as you say, against Mike Harkey. Drum, you know, if you take their win over Loughmore in the quarterfinal as well, they seem to have some strong form there this year. Maybe, you know, after a couple of quiet years as well.
Yeah, I'd have... I think Drum are going well this year, to be fair, by all accounts. They seem to be tipping along nicely, and I think they've been through the end, telling me the same. You know, I've been to watch them, so they're hurling good stuff. And, you know, if they can beat Brackets in the mid-final, it's in a group of Sarahs or Templarian and Burris, that, like, you know, if something doesn't go the way their first day or lose no game, they have a kind of lifeline anyway there.
Yeah, and... You know, you mentioned Templeary up north. Like, we'll come back maybe for some predictions after. But you know, that was a bit of a hiding that they got from Nina.
Yeah, score. I couldn't believe it. I saw it. Yeah. I didn't think it'd be that big. Like, you know, but that Nina doing them things, them kind of games up north things. No, and then they put the marker down. But hard to know where to go from there. But Templeary, like, it's kind of welcome to the big time as well. Like, you know, like, they're depending on maybe one or two players over the last some years, but you know, they'll come around again. They're still,
yeah, I think I wouldn't read too much into, like, you know, the standards saying, oh, like, you know, they're off the pace. I think it was just one of those days, because you look maybe like Killinall, I know they lost them on the home, but you know, that's Dan Breen versus an Orion team, like, you know, so Templeary having won the Orion obviously last year, like, you know, I think that they'll be quite competitive in the county series. It's just whatever reason they got it wrong on Sunday evening or Saturday evening. Just the West final then, it's Clonmelty and Aeroog on Sunday. There was no semi-finals in the West, so call that maybe Clonmelty.
Yeah, they heard loads in league now about a month ago. It looked well enough. But then again, the West finals, there was a few points in it, but no, should see it out, yeah, no?
Right. And then it's Tracy's and Cashel in the Premier Intermediate. I'd give Tracy's maybe, that'd be an interesting game, I think. Cashel will be looking to kick on this year.
Yeah, I'd be kind of going to Tracy's camp as well, to be honest.
It'd be a bit of a scalping there, is there? Are there any history between... Yeah, Sean Tracy's would be tough out crowd now and going down to Cashel.
Half of the Cashel lads weren't even in Cashel, so there'd be no scalping for years back previous, isn't it?
I mean, tradition in Tracy's, I suppose, yeah. And
waiting for the comment on Facebook now.
Yeah. We haven't even got to Ballingarry yet. So. Actually, yeah, another team there in the South Final versus Kilchenan without having pucked the ball, so getting the walk over. And then Swan
won. That walk over scandalous, actually. Like, how
disgraceful. Like, there was a festival on in Ballyporeen, I heard, but
pull the team together, smallest
tent in the world.
After going well last year, after the kind of County St. James had a good win in junior, you know, people are praising them and interested. Not even throw a team into
You're going to get 15, 16 lads, doesn't reflect on them, you know.
No,
they're not training them away, like, you know. So,
what kind of festival goes on out there that was hemp was stopping putting a team out in the field? Like, no, genuinely, like, it's I don't know.
I know, funny that the Ronald Reagan festival or something like that, whatever they're having. I just saw a picture of a festival. 20 people there. I don't know if it was a factor, to be honest. And like just a tiny tent. Like, it was like something from Craggy Island, to be honest. Now, so it's even. Yeah. Answers on a postcard, please. The Premier View podcast. What sort of summer festival goes on out in Ballyporeen or Skeheen or Inca? Yeah. So, look, that's actually going to be a very good game to Cheen and Ballingarry. I think it's down in Carrick.
The uncle texted me today. I think it got moved from, it's up in Clonmel now, I think.
Ah, lovely.
And confirmed, because I was asking him, like, But say nothing until it's confirmed. But he told me, he said, it's confirmed. Apparently, I don't know, should I get into it? But match-going viewers were coming. Like, if you're not at the fence, you're going to struggle to see the game. So apparently that was the issue that went in.
Yeah, so that on the spot, I'd agree with that, to be honest. Great pitch and all that, great sod, but yeah, there's no elevation there. So if you're not on the fence there, and if you're vertically challenged, maybe like myself and a few others, that you can't look over too many lads, you might have a couple of issues. But so that's it. Up north then, I think it's, geez, I can't even think, Premier Intermediate. What's the state of affairs there?
So we're caught now because we know North West.
North West abandons again. See, can I find it here? No,
Laura are there anyway. I know because they had a great win. Oh no, sorry, they're back.
They're Intermediate, yeah. Ross Gray Premier Intermediate. You mean?
Yeah, Ross Gray.
If you fancy Ross Gray there, no, at Premier Intermediate level now this year, you'd be thinking.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, you know, coming down from Dan Breen. Like, you see Burgess, he probably would have fancied him a bit last year, but they ended up in relegation. But Ross Gray, I think, would be that bit stronger. So yeah, you'd fancy them kind of to go hard for the Orion as well, I think.
Yeah. And they're down by the North Tip reps now tonight, lads.
Exactly, yeah. So we'll move on.
I couldn't spot it earlier on the tip side, whether it's called something different, or something like these fiction or call competitions that make no sense. It could be just called hurling, and just we can't see it. That's the only reason. Yeah. I couldn't find there now, going through random games.
And then the senior final, then it's Nina against, is it Kildangan?
Yeah, Nina Kildangan, yeah. It's on there. When is it on? It's on Sunday.
Yeah.
Quarter past six.
Again, that'll be another cracker. Thoughts on that one? Nina, very strong performance against Temple Derry.
Hard to know which Nina turns up, though, isn't it? His reputation for that down the years as well.
As always. You know,
I see him absolutely maul the Stars a few years ago up in the stadium, and then went out the next day then and got bit handily off a Clonulty in the county final. You know, Nina, I suppose, they failed to deliver. They underachieved for so long, like, you know, and the longer it goes, the harder it gets. So, look, winning the North title there might kickstart them again, like, because I suppose you want, like, look, Nina's a great hurling town and all that, and they're producing Tipperary hurlers, but for the size of the town, they have to be doing better, you know. And but Kildangan had a great result there when it was the last round. They weren't well fancied, so many, and they went out and had a great result. So, you know, I'll go with Kildangan for the North anyway. I'll go with Kildangan for the North.
I'll go Nina, maybe. The swashbuckling.
I'll just go a draw there.
Swashbuckling,
Nina. Nina penalties.
Unless they move it to Semple, then I'll go for Kildangan. Speaking of teams that maybe haven't turned up, brings us to the last item for the night, which would be Clare. Intercounty series. Bit of a horror show on Saturday evening for them. Against Kilkenny, you know, I was sitting down looking forward to, you know, a tight game there. You know, even Cody and Loan going out on the sideline. But, Jesus, the Wise just drained the life out of the game. And Kilkenny never looked back, really, did they?
Yeah,
and he said, you know, first couple of minutes in the second half, you know, Kilkenny goal, they were back. Kilkenny in their prime, what we always said, you know, they kill off the game just after halftime. You know, they go for the kill. And they're, you know, just had a few reminders of that. Me, and then, you know, the rest of it was just challenge match stuff. Clare looked shell shocked.
I've never seen such a confident Clare crowd before a match in my life. There's no Kenny people barred two or three ice out once, and then it's Clare. Even in the match, like, you know, Kenny, the one two Kenny lads, like, we'll have a chance here. And what would it be like? It, but Clare were like, nah, it's over now. And their faces, the Clare lads, when they're down 10 or 11 and they're rolling on a point, they get a point and they go mental and, like, just sit down, like, it's game over. Like, but the Kenny's defending. They gave an exhibition defending. Like, I mean, I was up above kind of good height watching, and just their tackling and the man off the ball and their turnovers and then finding the man. The thing was, they're finding the man and scoring. They only had about four or five wides there at one point compared to, I think West Clare had about 18 or 19 in the same stage. You know, so just clinical Kenny winning semi finals. I know lads said, I was saying they won, well, 16 in the last 21, but someone said they only won two of the last four, but still, they brought it to the table there Saturday.
Yeah, you mentioned the wides, and I suppose look for Clare Sport, it was the worst kind of wides you want to see. It's just kind of backs driving balls wide from 80 yards. I think Dearman Fitzgerald did a couple, even Tony Kelly had a just
it affected all the players. Like they all seemed to be annoyed with the other players hitting wide, and then they got annoyed, and then they couldn't score. It was just nothing went right from it. It was completely Kenny Russ very good, like as well. You know, you can't take away from TJ Reid neither. Stood up again, and Mickey Warren, and these there's some. There's they'll give Limerick plenty still, but Galway another kind of could have been there another day. You know.
Yeah, I think it's the familiar story almost for Galway. You know, against Limerick, that they seem to be able to rattle them, but just not be able to get over the line when it matters. For some reason, I think the Limerick now that might well wake them up. For me, they just weren't kind of coming to the boil this year, and maybe they always say maybe a semi final was the time to catch them. And I'm just thinking, was Sunday?
That was the time. Like Galway, yeah, that was the one. Like you know, a lot of players in before, I can see him going. Like they can watch the Kenny match back. They can watch Kenny's tactics. No, it's hard to say, but like that was Kenny at their best. Like you know,
yeah. A big factor for Limerick coming into this All-Ireland final now. I thought, and I said it here on the podcast, that how they react with Keane Lynch's injury will tell a lot. But in fact, it seemed their performances revolved around the performance of Kyle Hayes, who was quiet up until Sunday. Yeah. And then he had a monster game on Sunday and he pulled him out of a hole, really, you know, with his performance. And but as good as he was and all that, and Limerick all over, like Galway threw it away. It was again like the four or five wides on the bounce there towards the end. The one that the line ball like said it all for me when they got a dubious line ball in their favour. Henry Shefflin roaring everyone up the field, and the lad from 50, 60 yards out took a shot from a line ball. Like that was like that's you know, when you look at that, you're thinking, that's why you're not winning All-Irelands every few years, like, you know, because decision making like that, like, it's just that was pure selfishness. And it's, for want of a better word, was dumb. You know, he could have put that to the other side of the field, Galway for corner forward, getting out in the front, could have been a score. And the two or three they hit straight after, then was like head and hand stuff, like, and you're like, lads, you just threw away the game for yourselves.
And you look at the opposite ends, like, you know, Dermot Burns and that nail and freeze, like, you know, Limerick just throwing the ball around till they get the right person in the bit of space with the bit of composure.
Yeah.
Throw the ball over the bar. Like, you know, they're just so hard to beat. Just one thing you mentioned there, Keane Lynch, did he do enough for you, mate, really, to be in the conversation for a starting position?
I think he looked very, very, not shaky, not the word, like, very nervous in. Like, there's all well and good running around the place with a hamstring injury, but it's in the physical stuff. When you have to push your body against someone, you're using the legs to push, or when you get pushed, you're planting your leg. And I thought he looked very, very uneasy in the physical stuff. I don't think you'll see him. Now, he's probably getting state-of-the-art and top-money treatment now for the next, in the lead-up to that match and for the next 2 weeks. But I don't think you'll see him for the last 15. And he was only brought... I got the impression he was only brought on to lift the crowd, try and get Limerick over the line. I don't think he offered much when he was on the field. And he still looked a little bit light on his foot, on the legs, you know, the hamstring. Because it's very, very hard to push against someone when you have a hamstring injury.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. But, you know, 2 weeks, 2 weeks time, 2 weeks stronger, I think that he... You know, they will have him in reserve for that final as well. I'd expect Kilkenny to just come out all guns blazing maybe and try and ask the same questions that Galway did, but maybe have a bit more composure 60, 65 minutes in. All that's for another day. We've touched on a nice bit there, lads. Again, congrats to Tipperary, the minor win. The club scene is great. You know, another full round of games this weekend. You know, get to a game if you can this weekend. And then, you know, we've won more hurling inter-county game to look forward to this weekend. So thanks a million, lads. Good to see you again.
How about that?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.